to chew bubblegum and kick ass. I'm all out of bubblegum.
Actually advise. Lost highway, bloodthirsty thieves.
Our share of psycho killers, most of them are past. Commit scary, heinous, gory, awful, frightening acts.
It's all right, darling. It's all part of the scene. When the heads are really rolling. Robin Sweet.
Lost Highway.
Theaters. Check your newspaper for times.
Welcome to The Lost Highway. No tolls, just trolls. I'm your host, The Goon.
And I'm Barry Goodall.
And I'm Tiger Sixon.
And I'm The Doctor.
And joining us is guest reviewer, Sarah Irwin.
Hello!
She doesn't get a nickname yet.
Not yet.
We'll carve it in her forehead later.
Gonna carve it right into your skin.
Yep.
Hey, looking forward to that.
That's something that they would do in The Evil Dead.
Yeah, pretty much.
It is.
Yeah, as long as they could throw a bunch of blow at me at the same time.
It's good that we're talking about Evil Dead since, you know, the remake just came out and all. I don't know if everybody got a chance to see it. And I'm sure
it'll come on my list.
We'll be talking about it a bit later. Nothing spoilers, just probably something brief. But, yeah. My earliest memory of The Evil Dead. I'm just going to jump right into it because I have no segues. I don't know how to do them. I must have been about 8 years old, and I got the tape from my brother and his friend who told me to watch it. And I watched it on a small black and white TV in my room, and that was probably the first night I ever stayed up all night without sleeping, and probably what started my insomnia. So I have that lovely memory from my brother.
And Sam Raimi.
I think I saw it when I was about 14 and went over to a friend's house, and that was kind of the same situation. He's like, oh, you got to check out this movie. It's awesome. There's demons, possession, all that good stuff. So I knew it was good family fun. And yeah, that movie got to me. I was definitely staying up for the night. Not because I wanted to watch the movie for the rest of the night, because I was scared for the rest of the night.
I got into Evil Dead kind of, I guess, backwards. The first one I saw was Army of Darkness, and at the time I didn't know that was a third in a trilogy. I thought it was just like its own thing, and then when I realized it was part three, I went back and saw the first one, and I think I watched it with friends on Halloween, and I have friends to this day, this was like almost 20 years ago at this point, that still, you know, refuse to watch that movie again because it freaked them out so much.
Yeah, I'm the same, Tiger. I saw the second movie first, and as soon as I saw that one, the next day I went and rented this and watched it by myself. I can't remember when it was because it scarred me so much that I can't remember.
It's funny that you said Army of Darkness was the first one you saw. It's really the first one I remember because they always had those Army of Darkness, like, whenever you bought comics, they'd usually have an ad for a movie somewhere near the back or on the back.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing that over and over, and I always mistook him and the way he looked in that photo for the guy from Gremlins. So I like thought I'm like
Billy from Gremlins.
Yeah, so I was like, is this another Gremlins movie? Because I was like, because I love Gremlins too. And then like my stepdad went out and rented it, and I watched it, and I'm like, what is he talking about? Like, did I miss a movie? And then my stepdad was like, yeah, there's a whole other movie, idiot. And well, he didn't call me idiot to my face, but how I pictured it. So, yeah, and then that was actually my first experience with Evil Dead 2, was he was like, oh, you never saw it? We should go get it. And I was like 14. So,
you thought it was kind of like Halloween, you know, whenever they completely derailed everything and did the Seasons of the Witch?
Yeah.
It was like there were gremlins in the first two, and then all of a sudden now there's these deadites.
And I'm like, what is he talking about reading from a book? Why does he have a chainsaw? I do not remember that. Or maybe I'll have to watch Gremlins 2 again. Maybe I missed that part.
My earliest memory of Evil Dead was this afternoon. And I'm hoping I'll be able to sleep well tonight. You guys seem to have had some issues with that, but I'm feeling fine.
Just remember to lock your cellar.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's true.
This is a Michigan basement cellar.
It is.
And you're in Michigan, aren't you?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yes, and we both graduated from MSU.
That's true.
Oh, my God.
That's true.
And there's a lot of MSU product placement in that movie. Great. Well, just a t-shirt. But
it was nice knowing you.
Thank you.
I don't drive an Oldsmobile, though.
Yeah.
Drive a Buick. Close enough.
The classic.
Oh, my God. The boat on wheels.
Oh, totally.
Well, we could dive right into the movie, if you want, Eric.
Okay. So
I'm putting it all on your shoulders while I open a soda.
So you have your typical hot driving action at the beginning, you know, introducing everyone. Now, the thing that I want to know is the camera at the very beginning seems like mm-hmm. it's one of the demons going after him. Was that what that was supposed to be? Because he did, and by he, I mean the professor had already released the demons.
Yeah.
So was that supposed to be the demons coming, or was it just...
I guess
just to set the mood. I think it was more of a mood thing, but I mean, yeah. I could be wrong.
No, I believe
Sam Raimi did a lot of those type of camera movements, you know, in his earlier works. We'll see more of that in Evil Dead as well, but I think it was kind of a signature of his style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Shadowing as well, I think. That's sort of how I saw it. And, you know, I love that camera movement over the water was very cool.
Yeah. And, Now that you brought that up, I was thinking about it. I always thought of it as a mood setter, too. But, yeah, Professor Nobe did read the words, so I think maybe the presence of the evil was there.
Spoilers, we're going to jump to the very end. The way that they get rid of the demons in this one is they burn the book. So the demons hadn't been destroyed yet.
Yeah. So they like maybe their presence was there, but they weren't entirely. But then again, this a lot of overanalyzing for a low budget horror film.
But yeah, I think he just wanted to make some zombies and some gore. I don't think his intention was, you know, artsy in that regard.
And also, when they were driving too, if I'm thinking correctly, didn't they have to do a bunch of reshoots like two or 3 years later? So at some points in the car, like Bruce Campbell looks younger.
Yeah, and I noticed his hair looked different.
Yeah, yeah, you'll notice that. I mean, it happens periodically. Yeah, it happens periodically throughout the film, but like, it's really noticeable in that first few beginning shots too.
And I wondered whether or not they had a radio in the car, or whether they just wanted to listen to everyone singing. Because they voted for the radio.
They may not have been able to get the rights for the song on the radio.
Yeah, that's low budget.
Well, you have a friend to make one.
That's true.
Speaking of which, much like our
next. Ashley's voice was incredibly high. He sounded, I don't know if that was in post-production audio, if he really sounded like that, but it sounded very prepubescent.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. And then he looks more like the Bruce Campbell we love and know in Evil Dead 2.
Right.
But
he was Ashley, not Ash.
Yeah. Well, I think Scotty referred to him as Ash a few times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, you gotta go with a manly name like Ash. Ashley just doesn't. That's like Little Women novel.
Little Women with dead eyes. I'd pay to see that.
Yeah, good crossover.
Yeah, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Why not Little Women and Deadites?
There you go.
Oh,
I'm
right in on that one right now.
There you go. Did you guys notice the two fisherman guys on the side of the road? I wondered if that was Sam Raimi and one of his brothers or just his brothers.
It was, I was actually about to mention that. It was, yeah, one of them was Sam Raimi, the other was Rob Tapert.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Because I tend to occasionally have too much spare time, so what I'll do is watch a movie with commentary, and if there's more than one track, I'll go back and listen to all of it. And when it's something like that I really like Evil Dead, it kind of like tends to soak in, so a movie like Evil Dead, like I notice a lot of stuff like that, been able to point out errors and inconsistencies. It's just something fun.
They're very friendly. They kept waving the entire time. Even after the car had driven by, they kept right on waving.
Oh, go to hell. I'm not honking at you.
Still waving. Still
That's
waving.
How they roll in Tennessee.
Still waving.
Is that where they were? Is that where it was supposed to be, was Tennessee?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did I miss that all this time?
Because whenever he asks, you know...
Because I thought it was supposed to be, like, upstate Michigan. For some reason.
No, because he crosses the border. He even says it, you know, he's asking him, asking Ash, you know, where are we, Ash? And he's looking at the map, and he's like, we just passed over into Tennessee.
Oh, my God, and here I just claim to be an expert. You're right, yeah.
Yeah, and the map that he was looking at was very interesting. It looks like it had come from maybe, a McDonald's or something. It wasn't your typical-looking map.
Hand-drawn.
It was, yeah, it was very hand-drawn. It was very, the road will curve to the left as it goes up the mountain sort of thing.
Big X where the cabin's going to be.
Yeah.
It's a treasure map.
Going to find the gold. I always looked at that opening scene, too, much like The Shining, the driving.
Yeah.
Especially when they're driving up to the cabin and it starts doing like that... that song starts to chime in. I don't know, for some reason, I always think of The Shining when I see that scene when they're just driving up to the cabin and the camera's kind of like at a high angle in the car and they're pulling up.
Mm-hmm.
They're driving like 3 miles an hour.
Did you guys notice the guy driving at one point? He was holding a mason jar of something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes.
I was wondering if that was like moonshine.
It is indeed, again, supposed to be moonshine. And they said there was a deleted scene, and Bruce Campbell and Sam Raimi commented on this on the commentary, where they were actually smoking a joint also and passing it around, and it was real.
Oh, wow.
But I can't recall why it got cut. It may have been because it was just they were goofing up too much, or the MPAA was just hacking at the movie so much that they just cut it.
Drinking and driving isn't enough. You got to go to the next level.
Oh, that's true.
They cut that scene, but they didn't cut
Yeah, it's okay to drink and drive, but not if drugs are involved.
But did they even show him drinking from it? Like, I just remember him just holding it while he was driving.
That's the thing. I remember seeing it in his hands, and I think at one point he passes it to the back, but you never actually see anybody take a drink from it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, so they finally make it to the cabin after all this driving. Oh, no, they have to go over the bridge.
They have to go over the bridge first, yeah.
The bridge
that's solid as a rock.
Yeah. It's solid as styrofoam.
So is this the first, like, ever horror film of kids spend a weekend in a cabin and stuff goes wrong? Or
when was this? It was filmed in 78, but it came out in 81, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I think...
of anything else.
Yeah, I think... maybe in the sense where it's more demonic instead of slasher, because it was definitely slashers after the mid-70s with, like, Black Christmas and everything, where it was just kid, you know, because it was after, it was before Friday, well, Friday the 13th came out before that, so it's hard to say for the 70s. I can't really think of anything, so this may have been, like, yeah, the first where kids actually go to a cabin and die.
Yeah, I think else I saw, a cabin and a bowl of the Sasquatch. Evil Sasquatch, but not demonic.
It wasn't Sex Squatch, was it?
No. That's what I thought of when I watched
it. Sex Squatch! Oh, Lord.
Well, the sign for the bridge said, you know, 3-ton limit, and I wasn't sure, based on the size of that car and 4 people in it, whether it weighed 3 tons all by itself.
No, there's...
Well, the car by itself weighs more than 3.
Yeah, an Oldsmobile back then was at least 9 or 10.
Yeah. So, it's no surprise that the bridge broke.
No, that bridge in its heyday didn't even weigh 3 tons. That was a funny sign.
I love it when they cut to Bruce and he looks out the window and looks down and is like, oh, we might fall.
It's like his reaction is, oh, whoop-de-doodle.
Yeah, it's kind of a droopy voice for Bruce.
Sorry, I had a mouthful of food. That's all right.
It's inexcusable.
But at least what I did notice, because it's a short film, it's, you know, only like 80-something minutes.
Yeah.
They get to the cabin, stuff starts happening really quick, which I definitely, you know, with a horror film, I appreciate. I don't like it when they draw stuff out, which they seem to do more so nowadays.
Yeah.
Well, there was enough of the, you know, the little things to, you know, set everything up as creepy, like, you know, the swing banging.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
whenever he walks up and then it stops as soon as he touches the key.
Yeah, it was definitely a film that it had an idea and it was just kind of presenting it to you. It wasn't wasting time with exposition and backstory.
Right.
It was like, these kids are here, this place is creepy, there's a book, once he reads from it, it's going to go to hell. And so the pacing, you're absolutely right, it was just like beat, 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 where it just kept going. And I totally agree with movies now. They try to create all this tension, but I don't think they know what they're creating tension for. And I always think of what Tom Servo said in a Mystery Science Theater episode, I think it was called The Screaming Skull, where he's like, it's like they had a serving of tension for 2 people and they're trying to stretch it out for 10.
Right. And I think I paused it when the first, like, really creepy thing happened, and it was, like, 18 minutes in, and, like, I think when the sister got first attacked or something, I can't remember exactly specifics, but it was something weird happened, and it was already, not even 20 minutes in the movie, and they're already doing something weird, which I thought was good, because there's been plenty of recent horror films I've seen where, even, like, some zombie movies where it's, like, a half hour before something even really happens.
Yeah.
Well, that was the hand possession, wasn't it? Where she was drawing?
Yeah, the sketch. Yeah.
Which is a great scene, but I love her reaction after that happened. She just goes down and sits down, has dinner, like nothing happened.
Well, the first creepy thing that happened for me, I mean, you mentioned the swing, and I was very curious as to what the swing was banging against, because it sounds like it was some sort of industrial drum, or it was swinging against a dumpster or something, and it turns out to be this wooden side of the cabin.
That's for
some
thematics.
Old Hollywood.
Yes.
Tiger, I like that you brought up that it took, like, you know, 18 minutes for it to jump into something. Is it? And going back to the pacing, you even look at superhero movies now, regardless of how recent, like, you know, the last Spider-Man movie was, and then Sam Raimi's, that's coincidental, his Spider-Man film, and it took, like, almost an hour for both films to see Spider-Man in costume, even though it's like, you know, you see him developing his powers, but it's like, with that idea, even not looking at, even if you don't know anything about Spider-Man, you could do it in the same way, just set up an idea and give him his powers and his costume within 20 minutes.
That's the problem with a lot of first films in a superhero trilogy or arc, is they gotta spend all that time, you know, at least they think, setting up the origin and everything, and that's why part of the reason I didn't go see the new Spider-Man movie is I didn't want to sit through another hour of them explaining Spider-Man's origin again.
They do it a bit differently. It was pretty well done. I would recommend it. Yeah.
But we'll see it eventually.
You don't need that in a horror film.
No.
Just right.
Bring you do. And start slashing.
Well, it's like... Oh, go ahead.
the best I've ever seen that done was actually in the beginning of the Lord of the Rings, the first Lord of the Rings. They went through a lot of history really, really quickly, and they did it very well, the origin of the ring and who the different rings were given to. And I mean, I really appreciated that about the pacing of that movie. So it can be done very well.
And those are like, what, three-hour movies, whereas an hour and a half horror film nowadays can't even set up, like, this guy's crazy, he's coming to your house and killing you in 15 minutes.
Right.
They just go on this backstory that they, I think they're getting too mixed up in twists and turns and trying to make it like the ultimate horror movie without just, you know, writing something and having fun with it.
So let me ask you this. You know, there's the part where they take out the big reel-to-reel tape recorder and play it.
Oh, is that when they find it in the basement?
Yeah, they made something like that today using technology of our time, they couldn't really do something like that unless, you know, they had the guy's laptop and press play an MP3 or something, or they found an SD card and, you know, put it in something,
or if it had just been in an
iPod.
I was, well, no, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody who hasn't seen the remake, but I was actually kind of, I won't say anything, but I was kind of hoping it would have been like, I found Professor Nobi's mix iPod, or his, like, I found his droid.
But no, Bieber right here.
Yeah, in the basement instead of like the Hills Have Eyes poster.
Well, I'm glad
it's like,
they did address that somehow in the remake.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
I mean, when you see it, it's like I said, it's definitely hits the same points, but it's not going to be done the same way.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
But anyway, our trio, you know, they just, or not trio, God, was there five of them? I don't even know what that's called, but,
was that a
quintet?
Quintet, thank you. I don't know why I thought of trio even. So they arrive at the cabin, and they're having dinner. What are they even eating? I think by then they're all done, and it's just like scraps of just meat.
It's just brown food. That's all I can tell.
Well, they're lucky they didn't have a director that was, so bothered with, you know, consistency, like, you know, Toby Hoover in Texas Chainsaw, where nobody could touch the plates or the food, and it sat there and spoiled for, like, what, the whole week they shot that scene?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he said they kept painting over it, so it didn't look rotten.
Well, that adds to the ambiance of that scene.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if anything, that helps your horror movie.
Right, you get that look of disgust on your face. It's actually real. Yeah, I think at this point they're having the dinner, and that's when that cellar door just blows open.
Yeah, Ash gives the Greek toast, which, does anybody know what it was?
According to Scotty, it meant party down.
As a Greek friend of mine once said,
party down!
Yeah! Right.
Scotty.
Everybody knows a Scotty. Or a guy like Scotty.
Yeah, someone that says party down in a horror movie is guaranteed to be killed.
It's like you, in your group in high school, you always wanted a friend like Scotty, but you didn't want to be friends with him because he knew where the parties were and he could get the beer. But then you're like, damn it, but we have to hang out with this guy all night now.
But maybe he'll go down in the cellar and investigate some spooky, you know, the door busting open.
And then he would do that thing where he just shoves a shotgun in your face as a joke.
Oh, yeah. I bet you this still shoots.
Let's find out, Scotty. And then when he... if he didn't die during the cabin, you know, he definitely would have accidentally killed himself somehow, like partying on a cliff and falling off. And everyone would be shocked that's how that happened to that guy. It's like, that was long overdue. Let's not be surprised.
I have one quick question about cellars, because where I live, we don't have any, so...
In Texas? Are you sure?
Well, I've never been in one.
Where do you bury bodies?
Wait, if it's Texas, you guys use trunks of cars, right?
Do we use what?
Trunks of cars? Or oil fields? What do you use?
Yeah.
Oil fields?
Yes, or, you know, we throw them to the livestock.
Oh, that's true, because what do you say in Snatch? Was it, never trust a man who owns a pig farm? Although livestock is cattle, so never trust a man with cows?
Yeah, cows,
That doesn't work. You have to wrap the body up in hay, and it's just too much work. But what do pipes connect to? Now, I understand in the movie, you know, they're dripping, and that's for ambiance, but what do pipes and cellars connect to, and could they literally be dripping that much all the time? And are cellars bigger than the house that they're under?
When you need to, the first shot they do of the cellar, like, it literally looks like it's just that tiny room with the book and the shotgun and the Hills Have Eyes poster. Wait, or is it Jaws? No, it's Hills Have Eyes.
It's Hills Have Eyes.
It's Hills Have Eyes.
Okay. But yeah, later on when they explore it, that thing is like, it's bigger than like the first floor in my whole house. It's just, they got room for all kinds of stuff down there.
There's a lot of bathrooms.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah,
garbage disposals.
A lot of windows.
Did that place have running water? Probably well water then.
So that's what it connects to.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah,
that's my question. That'd be the water and sewage and that sort of thing. Okay, and my next question is: do cellars have power outlets?
Yes,
they do. Okay, see, yes. I'm completely ignorant. So, all right.
Wait, did the cabin have power, though?
Yeah, the cabin had power.
Oh, it did. You're right.
Now, I don't know where it had power from because there were no lines. I guess maybe it was underground.
Generator?
Or a generator that they never show.
Or
propane.
Or that you never hear. Because a generator power in a house, that would have... It's a big generator.
So when the cabin was first built, it was probably like, you know, top-of-the-line cabin of electricity.
That was like the Winnebago of cabins.
Right. That was their show cabin that they show all the other people, and then they came to the
You could own back. This.
So, yeah, the door busts open.
Anyway.
What actually happened?
And you decide, okay, I'm going to go in ahead and go down there. All right, we'll give that to you. But, you know, what could possibly go wrong? You go down, and what you find down way back in the back is, you know, a half-torn poster of, you know, The Hills Have Eyes, a shotgun, and the Book of the Dead, and that skull spine dagger.
Oh, I forgot that was there. The, I forgot the name of the dagger.
Yeah, whatever that is. And again, you know, oh, hey, look, this is cool. Let's go play with this stuff.
It sets off no warning signals whatsoever. Like, okay, this is already creepy enough that we're in the woods, middle of nowhere, and there's just like skulls and things decorating the place and bad taxidermy, but there's a book in flesh next to a shotgun. We should probably go.
Scott makes a comment, I think, in there that it's, oh, it looks like your girlfriend in there.
And they do the laugh.
This kind of looks like your old girlfriend.
I expected him to laugh and then be like, shut up. But it's like he didn't. He just laughed, which I thought was stranger than anything.
I want to make a new cut of Evil Dead, where the only cut I make in it is when they're laughing, I add Tommy Wiseau going, ha 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 ha.
Oh. You're so funny.
Oh, hi, Ash.
Oh, hi, Ash.
I did not kill her. I did not chop her up.
I did not chop up my girlfriend with a chainsaw. I did not. Oh, hi, Scotty.
Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
You're tearing me up. Put demon deadite with a chainsaw.
Oh, hi, Linda.
See, why doesn't he remake that?
Well, that's a great cross.
That would have been a way better remake.
I could see Tommy Wiseau as a demon.
Tommy Wiseau is Ash, and just he also directed it, shot it, did the soundtrack, produced it, and you know, did everything. And
but I think at this, you know, they blame the whole thing on the cellar door kicking open on animals, which I thought was kind of funny. Like, yeah. What animal is kicking that thing open? And do you want to go down there and check it out?
Yeah, if that thing can kick that heavy door open, you really want to go down there and poke your face in front of it.
Right,
that's a big squirrel.
Yes.
And Scotty said, back in a minute.
Yeah.
Famous last words there.
Yeah, know. Like, so many famous one-liners from this, you know, of, like, the cliches of horror movies. Don't go in the woods. Don't go in the basement. I'll be right back. I think this pretty much established all those.
Well, It is really constructed of the biggest cliches, but it's just... it was so clever at disguising the fact that they were cliches, because I never really thought about that until you just said it.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was because back then it wasn't really a cliche, but now of course it is.
Yeah, they started the cliches. So
this movie started every horror movie cliche.
And Ash waits approximately 4.2 seconds before saying, Scotty, are you okay? Yeah. It's been a minute, Ash. No.
Just got me some time. Jeez,
he hasn't
even gotten down the stairs.
Relax.
I guess I'd be a little anxious, too.
Yeah, but you gotta give him at least 10 seconds.
They also said that there was actually no cellar in the cabin part.
That was shot on a set.
Yeah, so, like, when he pretended to walk down the stairs, he was actually, like, doing that fake ducking thing. Because they were, like, it was literally just, like, 2 feet of just where the floor was. They had to just cut a hole there to make the cellar and put a little stairs there, and they had to pretend to walk down the rest of the stairs.
Acting. Was it filmed in a high school gymnasium?
The second one was in a high school gymnasium. In fact, when the evil's chasing him through the cabin in the second one, you can see the rafters. Because there was no ceiling to the studio cabin.
It'd be great if you could see some high school banners.
I was hoping, like, go Bearcats!
Retired jerseys on the ceiling.
Dead eyes for a big sports fan.
So they go in the basement, they get the book.
Well, if you get a book, you gotta read it. You gotta read it out loud.
Well, they opt for the book on tape.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
see, this movie was ahead of its time, books on tape.
There you go.
The first book on tape.
Yeah, they were just looking at it for the pictures.
The only thing that book was missing was pop-ups.
Early Necronomicon.
Nacharan de Manto, roughly translated, Book of the Dead. Ganda.
Shut it off.
Ganda.
Shut it off.
Ganda.
Shut it off!
And then stuff pretty much starts going downhill pretty quick once they play the tape.
Who gets possessed first?
The sister, isn't it?
Cheryl? Was that her name?
Cheryl, yeah. Cheryl. Yeah, because she gets raped by the forest.
Oh, she
hears that,
yeah. She hears the voices out in the woods, because naturally you should go out and check that out when you hear voices in the woods. Yeah.
You know,
she heard them earlier, too, whenever she would, just before she started to, you know, draw the face, or the book, or maybe right after she drew the book, she heard the join us.
Yeah, and then she started scribbling on the pad. Was that before that was before they played the words, right?
Yeah. And then after they did that, you know, she freaked out and went back into her room, and you know, then she hears the voices again. So naturally, not because it was in the script, but naturally, first thing you want to do when you're completely freaked out is to go out into the woods, and then go farther out into the woods,
and
then walk a little bit farther out into the woods,
mm-hmm.
and then go a little bit more. Then you get raped by trees,
in
and
the
somehow,
woods.
Even though you were walking out the back door, away from the cabin, you somehow end up walking into the front. How did that work?
Well, it is the woods, and it is evil, so...
She walked a really long way.
It's actually... The woods are on a cul-de-sac. She was just walking in one big circle.
Yeah, so let's talk about that double tree incident there. A little disturbing. Wasn't expecting it to go that dark that quickly.
Yeah, it's still... really disturbing. Even though I knew what was coming, it's still pretty disturbing.
Yeah, I really feel uncomfortable in greenhouses now, and I don't like my plants, and I'm taking them out of the house.
But the Book of Flesh you own, that's okay?
Yeah, that's okay. I don't have a problem with that.
But no, yeah, looking back, I can see why my mom got totally angry when she found out that I watched that movie.
Oh, your mom had seen it with you?
No, she knew what it was.
Awkward parent.
No, it was my brother.
Child moment.
No, my brother, like, I mean, yeah, he did beat me up, but he knew how to really get me when I was a kid. Because I loved Universal Monster movies. And I would just sit there and watch him. He's like, hey, you should watch this monster movie. Because he got to see it with his friends and their parents, so, like, he wasn't scared. But he knew I'd be in my room by myself in the middle of the night watching that.
That's crazy.
So, yeah. And when that scene happened, being a kid, I had no idea what was going on. But I can see why my mom freaked out when she was like, what did you watch? Evil Dead, it's no big deal.
Yeah. I don't think I even knew what was happening. Yeah. At 14, I was like, wow, that tree is really aggressive.
It's a mean tree.
Horticulture.
See, and I lived out in the woods when I was a kid, too, so that movie scared the crap out of me.
You said you lived out in the woods?
Well, not like in a hillbilly sense, like them.
I lived in a van down by the river.
It was like, we had property, and we were, like, you know, just outside the city, so it's like we had the property, and then it was woods. So, like, I would always peek out my window and just look at them, like, oh, not getting me. My Ghostbuster toys will protect me.
And you still feel that way, don't you?
I still do. Still have my Ecto-1 with all four of them.
You still look
on a shelf window. Above my window. They're going to bust any deadites. Not getting through here.
So, yeah, she gets away from the trees somehow.
I think they just kind of give up.
Yeah, they do. They're just like, we're done.
Well, they got tired.
Like, I need a smoke, babe.
They rolled over and took a nap. So, yeah, she runs back. She's still got her underwear on. She seems to be pretty well clothed.
And she runs in, and the demon's right behind her chasing her, and she closes the door.
Yep, yeah, the door's
locked. Ah, can't get through the door.
You have powers to control tree limbs, but you can't open a door.
What are these, the aliens from M. Night Shyamalama Ding Dong.
Oh, God. I'm just trying to picture if other people have made this Evil Dead remake. That's not a good one.
No, that'd be a horrible...
Here's a twist. They were the book, and the woods were the kids. Wait.
They were all Amish.
You know, it's funny, it's funny we watch horror movies now because you'll see the Evil Dead a lot of times playing on the television or playing a theater in some of the movies. Mm-hmm. So, like, Donnie Darko, I think they had that in there.
Donnie Darko, Nightmare on Elm Street?
Nightmare on Elm Street, yeah, it was on the television in Nancy's room, or was Johnny Depp watching it?
It's Johnny Depp.
It was Johnny Depp, yeah. No, it was on her TV, too.
Oh.
Well, I guess they were both watching.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah. It's so cute how I got killed by the bed.
Oh.
But once she gets inside the cabin, of course, nobody believes her.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know why you would. I mean, whose woods don't come alive to kill them?
Yeah, it's not like anything weird's been happening, like, you know, anything that happened up to that point.
Like, you know... The whole cellar door just bursting open. Oh, we've established that was animals, okay.
And her hand being possessed by a demon.
Yeah. Right.
Didn't bother her in the least.
And this...
And the voices.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least the possessed hand was nice enough to flip the page so that her nice, you know, clock drawing stayed intact. That was good.
Didn't want to...
Oh, that's right. I didn't think about that.
Maybe it liked the drawing.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, it's me. Oh, that's a nice photo. I'll hang it up after I'm done killing you.
Whoever drew it was like, do not mess up my drawing.
Somebody just...
I wonder if you can get that original drawing on eBay.
I'm pretty sure you can get fake ones for the same price as the real one.
I can sell it. Because I got drawing skills.
I have skills. Yeah. So that's when they start playing the tape, though, is right after that, right? Or Ash is playing the tape.
Yeah.
And then he shuts it off. And then Scotty, of course, he wants to hear more.
And then,
because like I said, every group needs that guy that's just going to take it way too far. The douche.
That was before she she freaked out, because that was, you know, he said, I want to hear the rest of it. It's no big deal.
Oh, yeah.
She's just nuts. He said that after. No, I want to hear the rest of it. It's no big deal. And then he played it, and that's, he fast forwards it right to when he's reading the ancient Sumerophorian, or whatever the language is that he's speaking.
And you would think that the professor would deliberately not translate the part of the book that actually raised the dead again. I mean, I'm all for the scientific method and all, but if there's one part of the book not to put on tape, it's that part.
Well, it was really a 50-50 shot. Like, either it would raise the dead or it wouldn't. So, you know, he just had to gamble that.
Yeah, I just, you know.
So don't take that guy to Vegas.
If it was lost and, you know, he didn't translate the rest of the book onto tape.
But at that point when she's standing at the window, and that's when she turns around. Cheryl
was the one with the drawing.
Aren't they all kind of doing their own thing at this point, off in their own rooms? Because I remember the part about the necklace, too.
Yeah, and that's when Ash pulls out the lamest pickup line I've ever heard. Let's listen to the storm and stay up for a while.
Hey, I'd use that.
Yeah, melodramatic music.
Yes.
Then. Yeah.
With the little magnifying glass pendant, whatever that was.
The Monocle of Lurb.
There you go.
Is that really what it's called? Or did you just make that up?
No, that's what I call it, because, you know, that's what every girl wants, right? Is a monocle?
Aside from my ex, then.
Magnifying glass, because I only read a couple letters at a time, not an entire word.
My ex wanted it, but that's probably just because it was Evil Dead. But so aside from her and Linda, I don't know anybody else. Like, a guy wouldn't seriously give his girlfriend that and think it's a good gift, right?
Well, maybe in the 70s.
Yeah. Everything.
Maybe that's Ashley.
I mean, look at his shoes.
Yeah.
Loafers. He's wearing loafers. That kind of defeats the whole thing about fighting demons. You can't look badass fighting demons in loafers.
Yeah.
Bruce Campbell maybe can do it. But
Ashley wasn't that badass in this.
No, he really wasn't. He doesn't
was a victim all the way through.
Guy, he doesn't turn it around until like the final like 20 minutes.
Yeah, he's not
No, he's really not. He's like, I remember the first time I saw it, I thought Scotty was going to be the hero, cuz I didn't realize you can be a douchebag and be the hero until later on in life. Like, you know, with Army of Darkness, of course he was, but
yeah, that's the Ash that we all know and love.
Yeah. Once your character's been developed, then you can be a douchebag.
Yeah.
And the part about the cards, too, when we first finally see our first possessed Deadeye, that freaked me out. And it still does when she turns around and her face is just all, like, with the scleral lenses and the, like, gray
on
her face.
Yeah, they couldn't see all of those, could they? They were pretty much blind.
Yeah, they were blind, and they could only wear them for a few hours at a time, or else it could cause temporary blindness, they were saying.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
Yeesh.
Well, that's getting into your character.
Just adds to your rage being in that room. Like, I can't see, my eyes hurt, and I'm covered in makeup.
Is that the point where she gets off the number 2 pencil?
Yeah, because they were doing the card guessing game where she was like, Ashley, I guessed it right. What? Yeah, that's great. Even though she was guessing him wrong, and then, like, then Cheryl just starts saying the cards, and she's not even looking at him, and then...
And she goes on a rampage.
Yeah, when she takes that pencil, she, like, digs it in, and she moves it around.
Yeah, that was... At the time, that was pretty brutal, because most of the, you know, horror films back then, it was just, like, a slash, and, you know, it was just clearly just, like, a thin line of blood on somebody's face. Like, things really weren't gory.
Right.
At least mainstream, I mean, you can still find B-movies, but that was incredibly gory and just graphic for the time, and especially for what it was. I still cringe when I see that, because that's in the soft spot of the ankle. And I run, and I walk a lot, and I don't like watching that part.
Or taking FAT tests.
That's what made me hate Scantron.
Which obviously someone was doing, because there were multiple pencils on the floor.
Really?
Yeah, there were a couple of them.
So many choices.
I'm not sure why.
Well, she was, like, back when, before digital, we had to use pencils. And there was pencils of, like, different weight of the lead, I think. So, like, some were darker, some were lighter.
So you needed options.
Yeah, so that's why there's, like, 2B, BH, 2H, 4H. Wait, 4H is that boys club, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Wow, did they have fire back then?
This is the wheel. It helps you move and go.
So old. But yeah, that that was pretty gory for the time.
Yeah.
And this is probably one of the moistest movies in that time period. I mean, there was blood, there was clam chowder, there was corn.
Yeah, what was that?
It was corn and clam chowder. I think you were right.
Yeah, I think that's what they used.
Yeah.
Oh, that's delicious.
You know, maybe one of the pencils had a good eraser and the other didn't. That's what always happens to me. So maybe that's why there's two of them, because one had a good eraser. That's always my problem.
I was...
Somebody's ankle.
With the bad pencil, you want to save the one that's got the good eraser on it.
This is where I start getting, because I didn't rewatch it recently, and no matter how many times I've seen it, this is where I always forget kind of what happens next. If somebody wants to jump in and...
Well, that's when you know, she freaks out, Cheryl freaks out, and they kick her down into the cellar, and, you know...
Oh, yeah,
she,
Scotty just, like, boots her right in the face.
Yeah, and she
without
goes
hesitating,
down
so.
And goes full-on old demon down there, and they lock her up.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't remember if it was Linda or who. No, I think it was Linda that was freaking out because of her eyes.
Okay.
What's wrong with her eyes? Ah!
I don't
so
even
know. So they decide, okay, let's all split up. We're going to put you in the bedroom because, you know, the demon just told us that it's going to take us one by one. So you go lay down back in the back room by yourself.
Levitation is totally normal. Don't think anything of it. That happens.
Yes.
She's not possessed. She's crazy.
And Scotty did a terrible job with that chain because there was if she pushed up, she could get like a 6-inch gap, enough to get her hand out.
Why didn't they just move something heavy on top of it, too?
Yeah, you had one job, Scotty.
Actually, I'm a little concerned about Scotty going back to... He just, like he kicked Linda or Cheryl right in the face without hesitating. And then later he dismembers his own girlfriend without hesitating.
Mm-hmm.
So Scotty's definitely got some issues before they even raise the dead.
Yeah, because
so.
At least Ash hesitated with his girlfriend and decided to bury her instead of chopping her up.
Well, Scotty was just looking for this opportunity.
Like,
I only came along.
He's kind of like, you know, he's just got that thought boiling in his head because he's sick, and he's just like, oh man, I want to murder somebody. One of these days, he's going to talk wrong to me. And then the second Cheryl freaks out, he's like, oh, I got this. I know what to do. And then when his girlfriend gets possessed, he's like, oh yeah, this is happening.
Breakup coming.
I never thought about it, but if you go back even to the very beginning of the movie when he's honking, why did he get so pissed off that they were still waving at him? He's like Bruce Banner. He's always pissed off.
Yeah.
He's just waiting to go, you know, psycho on people, and now he got the chance.
He's like, Dear Diary, best day ever. I finally got to murder somebody.
Girlfriend looked like herself. She didn't have the demon face at the time.
Yeah,
I think that was part of it.
Yeah, she really looked baby dollish.
Yeah. She had the eyes.
Yeah, the eyes.
Yeah, she was really taunting Ash. Really annoying Ash, actually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Nagging. It was like they're married already.
So we are at the point where they just basically drop kick Cheryl into the cellar.
And sent everybody off.
You know, I always forget Scotty's girlfriend's name.
Shelly,
thank you. I was going to say, like,
goes
Slappy.
Back to her room, and she's, you know, doing whatever, and Linda's actually back in Ash's, in their room, sleeping.
Yeah.
And the window breaks, and, you know, Shelly's back there alone, she screams, and, you know, that Scotty goes back in there to check on her. But, you know, he doesn't go very quickly.
Oh.
He kind of just, oh, I'm going to go back there in my own time. And I look, and the window's broken out. And there's nothing in here. And he doesn't bother to say anything or call for help. Nah.
Are you there?
Going
if you're
on
not,
here.
I'm going to take off.
Yeah, and then, you know, he's going to walk back into the living room, and then she, you know, busts out and attacks him, and, you know, he throws her in the fire.
I'm telling you, that guy was waiting for that. He's like, oh, please let this... That's why he hesitated. He was like, please let this be the day.
And the fire was too quick. He needed to do it more manually than that. That's why I pulled her out.
Pulled her out and went to chop her arm off. And I didn't know this until I watched this movie, but demons hate to have their limbs severed.
I guess so. It works better
when
you're home. Yeah.
Because she had to chew it the rest of the way.
Oh my god, yeah. That was crazy. Like, you never even see stuff like that nowadays, so... I was actually trying to explain that to somebody after we saw the remake, because they had never seen the original, and they're like, that's gross, ugh. And I'm like, I know, it's awesome, right?
Why was she chewing her own arm off?
Because he, like, hacked at it, yeah.
Part of it off, and she... Demons, had never explained it, so I just assumed that that's a demon thing, that, you know, if they're OCD and, you know, they can't have their limbs partially taken off, so they...
Well, it's almost off. I may as well completely remove it.
Exactly.
Huh. I wonder if they're pickers, too. They have to pick at anything that... Scabs or...
Makes me
itchy. Well, they are filled with milk like the androids in the Alien franchise.
That's true.
I didn't know milk had so much potential. Like, demons bleed it, and it's used to fuel androids.
Milk.
Does a body good, I guess.
With aliens, it was acid, wasn't it?
No, the androids.
The androids.
Yeah.
The android had, that's right.
Oh, man, if they had acid in them, that'd be even better.
And then, I think he was yelling at Ash to, like, hit her with the axe at this point.
Yeah, he tells him to do that, and, you know, Ash is like... completely wimping out, so he goes and grabs it and then goes to town and, you know, chops her, you know, doesn't just kill her, but, you know, chops her into little pieces and then chops those pieces into pieces and then watches it wiggle for a little while.
We're gonna bury her.
She's a friend of ours.
Nah, she's dead. Shelly's dead.
I'm getting out. I don't care what happens to her. She's your girlfriend. You take care of her.
Something that I... really appreciate with this versus newer films is there's obviously no digital gore or violent stuff. It's all practical effects.
Yeah, all practical.
I can't stand CGI blood.
It really takes you out, because that same CG effect is, like, in this package you can download. I've used it, like, so I can identify what splatter they're using. Like, the one they use in the first episode of The Walking Dead. Like when he shoots the filter? Yeah. It's like when he shoots the cop in the head through the fence, Leroy, whatever the cop's name was. I was like, hey, I have that. I can do
it's
that.
It's like when you first started using fonts and then you recognize, oh, look, they're using Comic Sans. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that must have cost a lot.
Yeah.
Can you send me those?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Just some home videos.
Yeah, they're like... I need some blood and gore into my kid's basketball game.
You know, this birthday thing.
Some explosions and gunfire.
When the kid's blowing up the cake.
Kids are never going to learn to ride their bicycles now.
Oh, no, they can ride their bicycles. I'll just add blood to the scene.
So they go outside to bury her bits and pieces now, right? Or
yeah, because, you know, that's what you want to do, because the demons were outside. So, yeah, let's go take her outside and bury her.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Then he comes back in.
Yeah, I'm a little, like, hazy at this part up until, like, the end, so...
Yeah, so he comes back in and he tells Ash, all right, we gotta get out of here, you know, and Ash is like, you know, when I left, the bridge was, you know... Well, of course he doesn't say this, but, you know, he told him that, you know, the bridge is out. So he's like, well, maybe there's some kind of trail that we can take.
So it's literally a shot in the dark.
heading downstream or heading out of that direction, just start walking. It's safer that way.
And Scotty took the only flashlight. They only brought one flashlight, and he took it with him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he did. Yep.
Yeah, because Ash doesn't want to go. He's like, you know, Linda can't even stand up, much less walk. So Scotty's like, well, we can just leave her, and we can send somebody back to help her. All right, well, or we can just go back there and kill her before we leave.
Sky's like, all right, can we really? Sweet, let's do that.
Sky would be all over that.
And he'd be like, really? Awesome.
How do you want to do it? This is awesome. I got my kit with me. He's got like a Dexter kit. He just folds it out and, oh, we could do, you know, Siren 2. I got some knives, syringes, a hammer.
So Scotty bolts and he leaves. And that's when Linda comes out. She's sitting there, you know, being a little creepy girl laughing at
him.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he finally almost mans up and he's going to. He was going to shoot her.
I think he slaps her around a bit first.
Yeah, yeah. He has to pop her a couple of times.
Channel in his inner Scotty.
Yeah, and then he's going to shoot her, but then she does the, help me, Ash, help me, and, you know, turns back into her regular self, and poor stupid Ash falls for it. And then he falls for it again whenever Cheryl does it down in the basement.
Oh, yeah.
Come let me out.
I'm okay now. Mm-hmm. I'm all right.
And never occurred to him that something weird was happening because Linda could walk just fine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Something I also noticed is about the middle of the movie onward, there is actually not that much dialogue. It's mostly just yelling and screaming.
Is that what, like in the screenplay, that they'll say, ah!
Yeah.
Oh. That's a lot. I can learn those lines.
What, is it,
Does he cut up Linda at this point?
No, I don't think. I think this is when Scotty stumbles back in and he's all, like, beat up.
Yeah,
because Linda just stays back there acting crazy, and Scotty stumbles back in, and they start, you know, talking about what, you know, whatever they're going to do, and Ash, you know, is trying to tell him, you know, okay, everything's going to be okay, we're going to be all right, even though he's got this huge gash across his face.
Bones sticking out of his leg.
Yeah, bones sticking out of his arm, you know, and everything, and that's when Linda attacks him. And they, you know, tussle around, and she gets stabbed in the back with the dagger.
Oh,
and
that's
she she starts spitting up milk, and then it turns into Hershey syrup, which is another demon power. Oh. They can separate chocolate milk into its constituent parts.
That's pretty awesome. It's like X-Men powers.
There's some chocolate milk coming up right now.
That's when Ash takes Linda out to the tool shed and, you know,
tool shed.
locks her down and, you know, goes to cut her up, but he just can't do it, so he decides to go and bury her.
Yeah, nobody got chainsawed in the first one, did they?
No, actually.
Yeah,
no,
but
one
they
did.
But they advertised the hell out of that, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was something, because like I said, I started with Army of Darkness, and then so I went back to Evil Dead 1, having seen what the teaser of Evil Dead 2 at the beginning of Army of Darkness. I was kind of bummed that, like, the whole possessed hand thing didn't happen in that one, and there wasn't really much stuff done with a chainsaw, and, you know, the shotgun was only a single barrel shotgun in that one, and so it was pretty different.
Yeah.
Yeah, Evil Dead 1's really a love story.
That's true.
Yeah. Romantic comedy. So yeah, at that point, spitting up the chocolate syrup.
Yeah, and he goes, tries to cut her up, can't do it, so he goes to bury her. And whereas he's been completely, you know, milk toast, you know, milk sop, he can dig like no one's business, because he like does two or three shovelfuls, and it's big enough to bury Linda's body.
He's just that good.
Was it an asymmetric grave he dug up too? Like it was perfectly rectangle?
Yeah. And so he puts it back, but I think the thing is it's less his ability, but that shovel was really sharp because it could decapitate with a single swing.
Oh, yeah, because she... Yeah, I remember that. Okay.
Because, you know, he buries her and she busts out and, you know, she jumps in the air and goes to get him and he swings and chops her head off. And that's when her body falls on him and, you know, poor Bruce Campbell gets the Hershey syrup sprayed in his face.
That was a gruesome scene. It just keeps coming out and you just can't seem to get the body off of him. And you got to feel bad for Bruce.
Yeah, because in most of the horror movies now, or even other horror movies, it was always women that got blasted in the face with the blood. But in these movies, it's always poor Bruce. Like in the second one, you know, whenever that all that blood bursts out of the wall, I remember watching reading about that scene, and you know, he said he almost drowned with all that.
Yeah, I believe it.
That stuff, because it was a 55-gallon drum that they, you know, punched a hole in, and he was literally laying down, so it was all falling right in his face. So, yeah, poor Bruce is the one that takes it for the team.
Well, he always said that Sam Raimi kind of had it out for him in those movies, so he always kind of ramp up the horrible things that he could do to Bruce. That's probably why Bruce doesn't want to make another movie, because he knows that Sam will just beat him up more. He's too old for that crap.
His body just probably can't take it.
Well, actually, he did say that. Whenever I saw the movie, the new Evil Dead, at South By, there was a Q&A afterwards, and that's what Bruce said. He was like, I'm ready to let new people do this. I'm tired of, you know, getting blasted in the face with all this mess.
You think if the paycheck was big enough, though, he'd do it?
Oh, yeah.
Not maybe.
Sam's got the money.
All that Spider-Man money.
Wizard of Oz money,
yep.
I can't believe the guy that made Wizard of Oz made Evil Dead. Return to Oz.
The Great and Powerful Oz.
Oz, the Great and Powerful.
Yes.
Yeah. Something to do with Oz.
Yes. Well, that's something that they can legally do with Oz because the book's public domain, but the original film isn't.
Yep.
Well, that's, you know, just like, you know, the guy who made Meet the Feebles made Lord of the Rings.
Peter Jackson.
Right.
Yeah. I just picked up Bad Taste again because I've been missing my copy for so long and found it for $5. I'm pretty happy. So at this point...
He gets back in the cabin and stuff just gets grosser and grosser with every frame, pretty much. Laying it on.
Oh, yeah, we're pretty much closing the movie at this point.
Because he goes downstairs into the basement again to get some more shells.
Did he remember his sisters down there? Or was it just like, oh, yeah.
No, she broke out. She broke out. That was the thing. You know, she breaks out. And you know, she's gone, and he runs through the house to make sure, oh, the front door, got to lock the front door, runs to the back door, locks the back door. But there's a window that's completely busted out, you know, in Shelley's room. But we're just going to forget about that. So he goes down there, and I actually kind of like the whenever he's walking back out and about to go upstairs again, and all the blood that's down there, because, you know, the dripping that was water before, it's now all blood. In one of the puddles of blood is a thing of Band-Aids.
Oh, so gross. And then, yeah, I think a light bulb starts filling up with blood.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
At the sockets?
Yeah, and the pipes break, and he gets blasted in the face with, you know, gallons of blood. Or Hershey syrup.
At this point, I started thinking that maybe he might want to listen to the rest of the tape. It was like a Castaway for me, where I always wondered if that last FedEx package had like a GPS system in it. And so I thought that maybe he would want to listen to the rest of the tape where the professor says how to make the zombies go away.
Oh, that would have been so beneficial.
Just his luck, if he went to do that, the tape machine would get all jammed up or something, or could become unspooled.
It probably would have sprayed blood on him.
Well, the professor says, continued on next tape.
Yeah.
And it's not there.
The tape is wah, wah. So what I like is when the cabin starts becoming alive, and one of my favorite shots in that part is when he reaches for the mirror and it's a puddle of water. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Like,
yeah, I think he did that in Evil Dead 2 as well, but it was...
He did the thing in Evil Dead 2 where he comes up... Doesn't Ash come out of the mirror in that
yeah,
one?
Yeah, yeah, and he's like, we just cut our girlfriend's head off with a chainsaw. Does that sound fine?
Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see how some of the scenes in the original Evil Dead were redone with a different take on it in the second one.
Yeah. There were some really good special effects in the closing scene in the first one, though. Like... As far as like stop motion and the mix of like stuff they use to make the deadites rot or melt.
Yeah, I'm always a fan of stop motion effects like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish they would do more of that.
Yeah.
It's more authentic.
I thought the sound engineer in this was really good too. Like the screams the deadites do are still pretty chilling. And like certain camera angles they do, like when it's following, and I think he does it in the second one too, like when the camera's following a character and it passes over a beam, it makes like this really weird sound, and you're just like,
it's, yeah, that one shot that they have where it's literally on top of Ash as he's walking, and it's before the house freaks out.
Yeah.
And every time it passes one of the rafters, it does that.
And like even today, people still copy a lot of that cinematography. It had really good cinematography in it.
Mm-hmm. For a low budget movie, I mean.
Yeah, he was definitely selling it, though, like he had a budget.
Yeah, they put the effort into it. There's a big difference between a low-budget movie where they don't give a shit, or a low-budget movie like this where it's low-budget, but they're paying attention to the camera angles and how they're setting up shots. Like, there's, you know, like the whole, that early shot with the swing on the porch, how it comes to a stop right as Scotty walks up to it. And there's another scene toward the end where, in the foreground, the blood dripping from the pipe is in focus, and Ash is kind of out of focus in the background. So there's a lot of really good compositions and that sort of thing for being a low budget horror film.
He definitely used what he had to his disposal and just went with it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of his camera angles sold what could have been like. Probably some of the worst shots and special effects ever, but
yeah,
the way he just filmed around everything just really kind of adds to the atmosphere. And there's a lot of isolation in that too, because that was a pretty small, you know, cabin to be shooting in.
One of the sounds too that was really creepy that I thought was really creepy was the flies. The sound of the flies,
yeah,
like whenever the trees, actually at the very beginning too, but. They use it a lot whenever the trees, you know, come to life and they're wiggling around. It's the sound of flies.
Yeah, you're right. It is. It's very, it's like an odd mixture. It's very cool, though.
And they actually used that same sound effect in the remake.
They did. Yes, they did. Yep. Because it made it sound like very, it literally made the woods sound alive, which works in that movie, so... So, Doctor, what was the what did they use for the stop motion, like to melt them?
I don't know for sure, but it looked like oatmeal and Ajax. The oatmeal, I was assuming, because it's when what's his name sleeve, and it comes pouring out.
Oh yeah,
you know, over his hand, and it looks like oatmeal, and then the Ajax, it's that. I don't know what that foamy stuff is, but...
I think he said it was, like, they had, like, everything, like, leftover, like, cream corn and clam chowder, and then, like, it was, like, Alka-Seltzer and...
Alka-Seltzer.
He said they used, like, everything they had. Yeah.
To make people foam at the mouth. Now, when they were melting, there were cockroaches and a little grass snake in there, and I was wondering, were they union?
Yeah.
There's like one guy off to the side with all these bugs, and he's like,
yeah, the cockroach wrangler. You got paid
for that. That's great.
That is a job that'd be weird to see on a resume. I see you're previously a cockroach wrangler. Why don't you tell me? You know what? Just go ahead and tell me exactly what that is, because I have no idea. Oh, it's exactly what it sounds like. That I did not expect that. Okay.
You're hired.
You got the goods.
So, yeah, I think that you know, for, you know, he's fighting all these demons coming into the final scene. I guess I expected things to not quite end abruptly, like they did.
Good use of a classic song, though. Usually, it was that, I wanna be loved by you. Something like that, wasn't it? Yeah, it was like a really, Quentin Tarantino is not, like, he's kind of like that too, where he, like, will put all these classic 60s and 70s songs to really visceral scenes.
Uh-huh.
And now, you know, Sam Raimi did it before him, where he puts that nice little, whatever, 40s song at the end of his incredibly gory, scary film.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of makes it that much more creepier, doesn't it?
I was not expecting that. I was expecting either silence or, like, something from the score, like that the title theme. But when that came on, I'm like, that is creepy and weird.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you put that? But, yeah, things were looking good for Ash, and then it seemed like the woods were still alive, and they kind of snatched him up when he stepped outside.
One of my favorite bits of trivia with the movie is the fact that Joel Cohen was one of the editors of it. Of the Coen brothers.
Was he really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yep.
Also, in that last scene... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
He was an assistant, and... him and Raimi have had collaborations since. And, like, Raimi has a cameo in the Coen brothers' Miller's Crossing film, and I think he directed a scene or two of Hudsucker Proxy. I'm not sure, though.
Oh, I think you might be right, yeah.
And, let's see,
well, I know
he borrowed some ideas of Raimi's when they were making Blood Simple, which was the Coen brothers' first movie.
I know also during that last shot too, I think Sam Raimi was on a motorcycle with the camera.
Yeah.
And he actually broke Bruce's nose by like,
ran straight into him?
Ran straight into him and broke his nose.
Told you he hated Bruce.
It's just funny, like, if you watch any behind-the-scenes or documentaries, which every... Because Evil Dead is pretty much, in Friday the 13th series, are like, those movies were all by, like, every incarnation of it, like, every time it's put out, even if it's, like, one 15-minute extra put on there. And, yeah, it's just funny to hear people do impressions of Sam Raimi, like, just beating Bruce Campbell. Or he's like, I'm not going to tell Bruce this, but we're going to do this, and then Bruce, like, ends up, like, breaking his arm or ribs or something. So, which is funny, because their origins, they actually, you can I won't say download, but think you can find them on YouTube as their early student film projects that were very, very Three Stooges inspired, and they are hilarious.
Yeah, I could definitely see the influence then.
Yeah.
Especially as it gets into Evil Dead 2, like, and Army of Darkness. That's more slapstick physical humor.
And it's strange that they opted for a horror movie, like, for for his directorial debut, because just the things they used to do for all their college films and everything, they're just incredibly funny and just silly and, you know, slapsticky. And then, like, this, he tries to make a serious horror film that I don't know if is intentionally or unintentionally had all, you know, elements of that humor there, too.
Well, has Sam ever really done, like, a comedy? I mean, there's elements you see in Spider-Man, there's comedic elements there, but I don't think he's ever done a devoted...
Yeah, he's pretty much stuck to
horror and
genre stuff. I mean, like, yeah. He did For Love of the Game, he did...
Did he do For Love of the Game?
Yeah, A Simple Plan or whatever, and...
Was that with Billy Bob and Bill Paxton?
Yeah.
Sam really did that?
Yeah.
No kidding. I'm a little behind on my Sam trivia.
Yeah, I think Army of Darkness is the closest thing to a comedy.
Yeah, you're right. Probably Army of Darkness.
Army of Darkness is pretty much a straight-up comedy.
I mean, well, then again, I know he produced, like, Xena and Hercules, and those had really the same comedic elements as Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness as well.
Yeah,
he did Army of Darkness, then Quick and the Dead.
Quick and the Dead, I remember that. That was
Simple Plan, For Love of the Game, and then The Gift. And then Spider-Man, and so on.
For Love of the Game, was that the one with...
Kevin Costner.
Okay, not the same one. Oh, I was thinking of For Love and Basketball. That's why I was surprised.
For Love of the Game, somewhere Kevin Costner plays for the Tigers or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. Okay. I don't know why I was thinking of For Love and Basketball. That's with, like, Denzel and Mila Jovovich when he said that.
That's
like,
totally different.
What? What? The Gift? I don't remember that one in 2000.
That's, I gotta jog my memory here via Professor Wikipedia, but yeah, that's the one with, Kate Blanchett.
The suppository of all knowledge.
Yeah.
Well, it's on the internet, it's true.
Crime Wave. Someone else, oh, Joel and Ethan Coen also wrote, one of his films he did before Evil Dead, Crime Wave.
Yep.
Or actually, it came out after Evil Dead, but I think before Evil Dead 2.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Because I think I need to rewatch that one as well. But, I mean, what are your everybody's overall thoughts of, I guess, Sam Raimi's legacy and the Evil Dead?
Well, for me, I mean, I think it pretty much established the go-to the concepts of how to survive a B-movie. You know, don't go in the cellar, don't go in the woods if you hear voices. I think it's cliche, but he did it first. So he was a pioneer in that regard. I can't think of any other movie that really set these type of tropes that we've seen multiple times through films throughout the years since then.
Yeah, it's cliche now, but it wasn't then.
Right.
Right. Which I don't know, you know, for someone, you know, like Sarah, for going back and seeing this for the first time, you know, she's seen other movies that probably have repeated this cliche.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And what came to mind when I was watching this today was Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Cabin in the Woods is definitely an homage to Evil Dead.
Yep, and I had no idea, you know, that two of them were connected like that.
I would say, like, his legacy, as Steve said, is, you know, he helped create cliches and things that people have been referencing for the past over 30 years, and that's quite a legacy to have. And I like his style, how he's not afraid to interject some humor in the serious, you know, genre stuff. And I like his innovation when it comes to how he shoots things. Even in, you know, Evil Dead had some really interesting cinematography, and he's kind of continued that throughout his career. And he's, you know, going to go down as, well, he already is, you know, as a legend of that genre, you know, helping with the horror genre.
Yeah, Evil Dead 2 is probably my favorite horror film. And I always like the fact that in no other director have I seen this with, you know, you have Evil Dead 1 and Evil Dead 2, and they're the same story, but they're done differently.
Yeah, I guess the story behind that was they couldn't get the rights to the first film, so he just wanted to quickly recap what happened in the first movie. But he also wanted to go back and do some stuff that he originally intended, or I guess thought would be better. Because if you watch Within the Woods, you see a lot of Evil Dead 2 references in there.
Mm.
So, and I think that was 76 or 77, so, like, you know, a decade before Evil Dead 2. I guess, should we touch on the remake at all? Now that
it's
out?
That's up to you guys, because I haven't seen it, so.
I mean, not clearly not go through it like we did here, but just overall impression of it.
Yeah, overall, what did you think?
Overall?
Like, I did plan to see that tonight.
I don't know if I said it earlier or not, but it definitely hit the same ideas, but it didn't feel like the same story. I mean, it wasn't. Definitely not like, you know, shot for shot like a remake, or didn't feel like something that was cheaply done like Amityville Horror, that remake. But I liked how they kind of brought some new ideas to it, and, you know, because clearly with the idea of having cell phones and all that stuff and technology and everything, and, you know, they still brought it into the woods. They still made it a threat. They still made it isolated. And I like the idea of, well, clearly just kids going out there would kind of, that's been done before, Cabin in the Woods, and, you know, clearly 90 other movies before that, so, you know, they're helping one of their friends who's a junkie get off the smack. And, that was kind of an interesting idea. So then you get this whole idea where, like, not only is she trying to, you know, survive that, she's also trying to survive literally being killed. So there's a lot of things in it, and it's definitely got its level of gore and the fact that they try to do as much of it as they could practically.
Yeah, this... Yeah. The movie is awesome, and I've heard a lot of people say, you know, why did you have to make it so gory? And that's the spirit of, you know, the first one. If you watch it like what we've talked about, you know, the first one for its time, the stuff they did was really gory. And so he does that again, the new director and all the stuff. Yeah. Buckle up. That's what I'm telling you. Buckle up, because the first 5 minutes is hellacious, and that's just getting you ready, because then they go into, you know, the a little bit of, you know, the story, you know, if we're just talking about plot here, you know, plot outline, not saying anything, you know, you get, you know, the background story, whatever, and then it's going to turn into what happened in the first 5 minutes through to the end of the movie, and it is balls to the wall.
Yeah, it is relentless.
Gory.
Yep.
It is... For now, what Evil Dead was gory back then.
Yeah, I was about to say something like that. It was how, what you were saying, Evil Dead back then, you know, raised all these bars. So it's only that the new film should do that equally. So, you know, it had a standard to meet. Like, well, Evil Dead back then was such a milestone, and now it's seen as a milestone, and they did all of this. Well, that's how we should make our Evil Dead then, is by doing the exact same thing. Like... A lot of people are trying to do the exact same thing, literally, by just making the same movie and not doing it in the same spirit, which is where I think this Evil Dead remake really succeeds.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, great. I'm going to go see it.
And right. I will...
Oh, yeah, you got to go catch that.
I got to go catch it, yeah.
And I will close with one final little thing from the Q&A at the Evil Dead. They're making a number two.
Yes, they are.
Well, there we go.
And I also heard they're also writing Army of Darkness too. Just what I heard.
Yep.
And
with Bruce?
Yeah. Oh, and I'm not going to spoil it for you, but stay till after the credits.
I always try to do it.
In the remake. Stay till after the credits. Do it.
Yes.
It is the best part of the movie.
Okay.
No, when you see it, you're gonna message me on Facebook and be like, "Yeah, you were right. It was the best part."
Okay, I'm hyped now. I'm hyped.
All right, then I guess we should close that out. All right, everybody, thank you for you know, joining in once again. Does anybody any final words before we go?
Thank you guys for having me. It was fun.
It was groovy, even though you didn't say that in this first one. But I had to say it. Sorry, it's required.
It's required.
Damn it, you beat me.
I wonder how many reviews of the new Evil Dead say it was groovy. It's like when Kick-Ass came out, everybody was like, "Kick-Ass, kicked ass." All right, Tiger, anything?
No, just I think it still holds up really well, and it's worth watching as much today as it was, you know, back in 1981. So.
Yep, and I want to say this is my favorite movie to just share with people who have never seen, like, what an actual horror film is, or they've never seen this. Like, this one and Pieces are my two favorites. But, okay, everybody, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.